Okay, if y'all will turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I appreciate you being here this morning. I do appreciate your attendance in the class. So if without you, there is no class. And I thank David for them kind words, but he doesn't really know how short I do fall. But appreciate y'all anyhow. If you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us just like we are and sent your Son to die for us and pay for our sins, that by putting our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary, we do have eternal life with thee. And Father, this morning we uphold those that are sick to you. We ask you to be with these people and to comfort them as only you can and to heal them according to thy will. And Father, let us be able to accept thy will in the situations that we are faced with. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I know that after the rapture of the church, the body of Christ will go out to meet the Lord in the air, and then the tribulation time will start over here, and that will be those in the books of Revelations through Hebrews through Revelations here. They would be tribulation saints. There's a 7-year period over here for Israel. And there's a lot of prophecy about that in the Old Testament about this time over here. Now, Peter was trained in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when Jesus Christ came to his own, he came to Israel, and he trained 12 men to carry on a ministry after he's crucified and after he ascends up and goes back to where God the Father was. Now, in this time over here, I know this is what Peter's talking about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers. And I believe Peter's writing to some people that he did not know, because he calls them strangers, you understand? Now, to look into this stranger thing here, hold your place there and go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Now, in John chapter 17, if you want to know what the Lord's Prayer is, this is Jesus Christ praying to God the Father in John 17. And he's praying for these men, these 12 men that were given to him. Now, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. In other words, I believe that some of those, go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe that's some of those that Peter's calling strangers here. Now watch about verse 1. Now, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, I know that these people are scattered, aren't they? Go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now let's start back. And by the way, James chapter 1 verse 1 is written to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, that which will fit over here in the tribulation. Israel has been scattered all over the world. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, the context of Deuteronomy 28 is about Israel and the commandments and the statutes and the laws that were given to Israel, and they were told that they would keep them, that they would be the head above all nations. Now, but they were also told that if they didn't keep them, there were some certain curses that would come upon them. Now, go to verse 60. Go to verse 63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And you shall be plucked off
from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. So I know they'll scatter. Go to Acts. Well, I'll tell you what, dude, let's don't go to Acts. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Let's do it there first. Matthew 26. See, if I know who Peter's writing to, I know that the doctrine in 1st and 2nd Peter is not to the church, the body of Christ. You understand? Now, in Matthew 26, give me just a minute. Let's see if I can find it here. I know it's in Matthew 26, but I don't know if I can find it. Matthew 26. Go to verse 26. It's hard to break into context. Let's go to verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take heed, this is my body." Well, I know he's dealing with his disciples here, not the whole general population of the world. This is his disciples. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you," now watch what he says, "I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." That has to do with the new covenant that will be made with Israel over here. He's already shed his blood at Calvary. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he shed his blood, and that is the blood of the new covenant, which will be made at the second coming over here with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, according to prophecy and according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, in the context, watch what he says in that. Verse 30. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, 'All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written.'" Well, it's written down somewhere what he's fixing to say. "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered." So I know the sheep are going to be scattered because the shepherd was smitten at Calvary. You understand? Go to John chapter 10. Take Zechariah. If you got Matthew, back up two books, Malachi, Zechariah. Going back. Zechariah, and let's take chapter 13. John 10, Zechariah, chapter 13. In John 10, it won't take but just one verse to prove to you who's who here. Verse 11. And anybody got red left? This is official. Boy, I'm telling you, that makes it official. That's Jesus Christ. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Smite the shepherd, Matthew 26, and the sheep shall be scattered. Go to Zechariah. He said, "As it is written," Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, "In that day there shall be a fountain," and that's the fountain of blood. You can find this in Leviticus chapter 25. It's a day of atonement for Israel. The church, the body of Christ, according to Romans chapter 11, verse 5, we have already received the atonement. The atoning blood was shed at Calvary. Smite the shepherd, the sheep, lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus Christ said he came to. So when you see a reference, he came to his own in John chapter 1, his own is the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So So they are scattered sheep, according to Jeremiah 50, verse 17. Israel is a scattered sheep. You know why they were scattered? They didn't do what God told them to do. You know why people go to hell today? Because they don't do what God tells them to do.
Amen.
You know what they do? They do what the pastor tells them, or what the periodical tells them, or what the conference leaders tell them, and they disobey the gospel of Christ. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Christ committed to the Apostle Paul. What is that righteousness? That Jesus Christ became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we, the church of body of Christ, that we that believe that might be made the righteousness of God in him. So I'm righteous in him, not in this flesh. You understand? If we could just look past the flesh, boy, we could see some things so beautiful, it just astounds us. But we all got fleshly eyes. We look in the flesh, and that's bad. The flesh is bad. Now, chapter 13, verse 1, in that day, I suspect this would be the second coming. In that day shall there be a fountain open to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. I also will cause the prophets, the unclean spirit, to pass out of the land. It shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begot him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. Boy, that's serious, ain't it? Can you imagine taking one of your fleshly born children and running through with a sword or something and killing? Could you imagine having to do that? If he yet prophesies over here when the Lord's ruling, what you're supposed to do to it? Do away with it. It's serious. Verse 4. It shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. And I think about the back of collar and the robes and all the things that some of these church people wear, the Episcopalians, the Catholics, a lot of them, they wear these, and it's called rough garments to deceive. It's sad. It's going to be a sad awakening someday for some people. Verse 5. But he shall say, I am no prophet. I am an husband, for a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. Now watch what he says. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Here's the saying, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Now, I know that's where Jesus Christ is quoting from in Matthew chapter 26. As it is written, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Now, go to, as far as verse 6 there, when he sees the wounds in his hands, he said, these are when I was wounded in the house of my friends. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verse 13, John 15, verse 13. greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, you've got to go back and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see what he commanded these apostles to do. People that claim they're following Jesus today are Peter in 1st and 2nd Peter. They don't do what he told them back here. Now, let's look about Peter. Go to John 21 and Galatians chapter 2. Let's do it there. John 21, lad, stop and think a minute there. If I ain't got much to think with them. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. John 21. Now this is after Jesus Christ has been crucified and resurrected. And y'all know the passages three times in John 21 verse 15 on through. He said, the last part of verse 15, he saith unto him, he's talking to Peter, Simon Peter, feed my lambs. The last part of verse 16, he said unto him, feed my sheep. The last part of verse 17, Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Did Peter know what his job was? Did he know what his job was? Luke 24, you know what he told? Well, I'll tell you what, Luke, go to Luke 24. We've done it before, but let's do it again. Verse 24, he's appeared to the apostles, the 11 apostles. He's at Jerusalem. He's been resurrected. Now, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Did he know where he was to begin at?
Yes.
Jerusalem. Did he know, according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 23, that he would not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come? He told them that in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, he said, go not in the way of the Gentiles, talking to the 12. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's talking to these people, and he said, you will not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Well, the Son of Man's doing the talking, so he's going away. They know he's coming again over here. So that's what Peter's writing 1st and 2nd Peter about, to prepare these people here for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming, when he will take away their sins in the new covenant. Now, go to Galatians chapter 2. Verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and that Cephas is Peter, you can find that in John 1:42. His name is Cephas. It's, in other words, it's a stone. And John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, that's Paul, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Well, I apologize. Verse 18, when they heard these things, they were held at peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That would be those of Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and his household. Peter preached to them, repent and be baptized. Now, verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen travailed as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to anybody that would listen.
No,
no, no. Preaching the word to the Jews only. So Peter knew that he was not going to go to no more Gentiles. You understand? He was sent to Cornelius in Acts 10, and very, very reluctantly would he go. And he only went after the Lord himself sent a sheep down and told him to kill and eat. And I was listening to old Charles Stanley this morning. I told David about this, and I don't know if you was here or not. But he said the sixth commandment is, thou shalt not murder. Do y'all know what the sixth commandment says? Turn to Exodus chapter 20. You bunch of hypocrites, y'all claim y'all keeping the commandments and you don't even know what the sixth one is.
My commandment to nail this cross.
I don't know if I've ever tried to keep any of them myself. I tried to break all of them I could.
I know I don't have no trouble breaking them.
I heard that. I understand that. I'm right there with you. I broke everything that God ever said I shouldn't do. Oh, man. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. Is that what the sixth commandment said?
Yeah.
Thou shalt not kill. Didn't the Bible say there's a time to kill? Didn't in Acts chapter 10, didn't God Almighty tell Peter, what I've cleansed, call thou not common, kill and eat? Well, there's a difference between killing and murder. Killing and murder ain't the same thing. I don't believe murder is the same as killing. I've killed animals to eat. I've cut chickens' heads off. When I was a young boy, I helped my dad. He raised chickens and turkeys and all kind of stuff, and at certain times of the year, around Thanksgiving and Christmas, people would order turkeys from my daddy. I'd cut their heads off and pluck the feathers off. I didn't murder them. I killed them to eat. There's a difference. So don't change the Word of God. I don't know what Bible. I think Charles Stanley's using the New King James now. I'm not positive about that. I'll have to check him out. But he don't use the 1611 anymore. That's bad. Go back to Acts chapter 11. Now watch what he said here. I read this wrong. Verse 19. Now they which were, verse 19, Acts 11, 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen prevailed as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. So I know that the Hebrew epistles are to Hebrew people. I know what Peter tells these people. Chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered. And he names where they're scattered at. Verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, I don't believe we were sprinkled with the blood of Christ. I believe we that are in the church, the body of Christ, have received the atonement, the atoning blood. In Leviticus 16, 17, 25, and all back in there, the blood is given for atonement, to make an atonement for your sins. The high priest did that once a year. Went in behind the veil once every year, but not without the shedding of blood. To shed blood, you must kill something. Do y'all know what God Almighty did for Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons to cover their nakedness. But what did God do? He killed a little innocent animal and shed his blood and made coats for Adam and Eve. Cain killed Abel. What did he do? He murdered him. You understand there's a difference. There's a difference. Now, were these people sprinkled, or was the blood applied to them? In the book of Hebrews, and back here in the Old Testament, when Moses wrote the law and he sprinkled off the book and all the things back there with blood. So the sprinkling of blood is, you'll see it in the book of Hebrews. We don't get the sprinkling, we get the whole blood. You understand? If that's proper language, I don't know. We receive the atonement, not the sprinkling of it. I believe there's a difference. Peter, when he says they the blood of sprinkling, I believe they received the atonement according to Leviticus 25 and Zechariah 13 in the day when God opens a fountain to the house of Israel. It's the blood atonement for their sins. Their sins are gone there. Now, watch what he says here, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did I leave something out there? Well, it wouldn't change the context, would it? If I left the word again out, would it change anything? Well, it would be just like the word changed in Genesis, replenished the earth. Instead of changing the word from replenish, they make it fill up. Does that change it?
Yeah.
It sure does. Same as this right here. If I leave the word again, I know that somewhere these people that Peter's writing to have already been begotten one time, don't you think? So Peter's writing to them again over here, the Jews, where he's begotten us again. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Hold 1 Peter. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And this word that you're going to see here is verse 15. But Jezreel, that's Israel. But Jezreel waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat, thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he, Jezreel, Israel, Jacob, then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. You see that R is in a capital letter there? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that's Jesus Christ. Of the rock that begot them, they are unmindful. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, he said the rock that followed them was Christ. So I know who this rock is. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrifice unto devils, not to God. To gods, that's a little g, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Now watch what he says. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, as forgotten God that formed thee. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Where is their inheritance reserved at? In heaven. Now watch what he does in that. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith on the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Go to, hold your place there. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Y'all will know the verse. Or you should know it. If you don't, we're going to read it out. Or if you do, we're going to read it. Verse 28. Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are they looking for him to come again?
Yes.
Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Has it been revealed yet?
No,
it hasn't. It's going to be revealed over here at the second coming. Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Y'all will know these verses. Very familiar to us. In teachings of Peter's ministry. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And you know Satan gets in the middle of this here. He says so in this chapter here. And in other words, he changes the word when to so. And so therefore, if you don't repent, Jesus Christ ain't going to come back. You understand? They make it conditional that you got to do something. Do you understand? You got to do something. Well, Jesus Christ did all that needs to be done to save us. He died for us, paid for all of our sins. Now watch what he said. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Not so they will. It's like 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people, which are called by my name, would pray and turn from the evil way, then I would come and heal their land. No, he's going to come anyway, whether they anybody repents or not. He's a coming over here at the second coming when the time was appointed in his due season. Beloved, there is something very important, and a former will know the very importance of an early and a latter rain. Don't you reckon some of these farmers out Midwest where their land is parched, there ain't nothing to even grow out there? And I feel sorry for these Georgia farmers. Last year I think they was in a terrible drought. This year they're in a flood. Last year they didn't get enough. This year they're getting too much. But do you know that Jesus Christ comes to these people over here as the early and latter rain representing the first and second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, verse 20, Acts 3, verse 20. And he shall send. You know what the New King James does right there? Changes the word he shall to he may send. Huh? Are you kidding me? And some dumb preacher will stand up in a pulpit and say, I'm called of God to preach and preach out of the New King James Bible. You know who called him? The devil. He's a minister of Satan, the prince of the power of the air, that the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And I have no respect for any person that will turn from my God and turn to the devil. and use one of his translations. I don't give a flip if it's the New King James, the NIV, the RSV, or the ASV. No, verse 20 means what it says. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Second coming. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse, and I'm going to read this verse here to show you that why I read that in Matthew 26 there, in John 17, 20, that they, those that shall believe on him through their word, through these people's word here, Jesus Christ praying to God the Father. Now, verse 8, whom having not seen, well, these people that Peter's writing to, they didn't see the Lord, did they? Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And I've heard a grace preacher most all my life, far back as I can remember, quote this verse with the members of the Church of the Body of Christ. Ain't got nothing to do with the Church of the Body of Christ. Sometimes wonder about that man, because he's dead and gone now. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. You show me where a prophet back here said anything about the church, the body of Christ. This was a mystery hidden God, beloved. Some of it was hid in the scriptures. For had they have known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, if the prophet had prophesied of grace come on you, Satan wouldn't have crucified the Lord. He thought when he crucified the Lord, he won the victory. But what he'd done, he sealed his own doom. He sealed his own doom. You know, they accused Jesus Christ of casting out a devil by the spirit of Beelzebub. You know who Beelzebub is? The prince of the devil. You know what Jesus Christ told him? He said, if I cast out evil spirits by the spirit of devils, he said, then Satan's again himself and his house can't stand. He said, the only way you can spoil a strong man's house, the strong man's the devil, is to bind him. You know when Satan will be bound? During the 1,000-year millennial reign. Satan is very loosed nowadays. That's why we're told to put on the armor of God. James told them in the book of James, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, I resist him all the time, but he don't flee. He's sitting right there now. One on this shoulder and one on... I ain't got a good one on one side and a bad one on the other. I got two bad ones. And they whisper in my ears all the time, boy, you ought to try this. Oh, man, let's go over there and do that. I know the situation. I've been there. That's what I tell people all the time. I thank God that I've come up in the age that I came up in, because I didn't know anything about all this stuff that's going on nowadays, all this. Be careful here, little fellows. I didn't know anything about all this marijuana and speed, all this meth, and all these rocks they've taking it all out of Drano and all kinds of poisons. And they tell me one dose of some of this stuff and you're hooked for life. I'm glad that I didn't know nothing about all that. The only thing I knew about was rabbit tobacco. I don't know if y'all know what rabbit tobacco is. It would give you a little of a buzz, but it's a weed that grows wild, and when it's getting ready to smoke, it'll turn a grayish white looking color, and you can walk up to it and strip it and put it in your pipe or roll it up in a piece of newspaper, light it and smoke it, and you get a little bit of a buzz. I did everything that was to do. And I know me. I ain't talking about you now, I'm talking about me. I know me. If I'd have been brought up in this age, I'd have did. Because I know me. I just thank God that I didn't have all that in front of me. I feel sorry for these children nowadays. They got a lot of stuff in front of them. And they're going to have to get tough. They're going to have to get tough. Ain't got nothing to do with this. But just back to this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Well, I apologize. I didn't read verse 11, did I? Verse 11. Searching. Searching what? The prophets, the writings of the prophets, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, in the prophets, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Did the Old Testament back there in the Old Testament prophets, did they prophesy the sufferings of Christ?
Yes.
Did they prophesy the glory that should come?
Yes.
Yes, they did. Do they know when it would be? Yes, they did. Now, they didn't know anything about this 2,000 years in here that we have. This is a mystery. But they knew that the second coming, when it would come, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, stars will fall from heaven, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. You know what the sign is? I have failed you. I have failed you. There is a sign for the coming of the Lord. You know where it's at. Please, would you turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Y'all will know it when you see it. You're just like me. I used to go to class and Brother Moore would say something and I know I thought I knew it. And sometimes I'd open my mouth and I found out I didn't know. So then after that I got to where I just kept my mouth shut and played dumb. So I believe we're playing dumb here this morning. All right, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ has been crucified. And he's been resurrected. Now, they've asked him some questions. And he tells them, he said, verse 8, "But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Not in you, upon you, and you shall be witnesses both of me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. That's the marching orders in Luke 24, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, verse 9, "And when he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was received up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they," these apostles, "look steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men," these angels, "stood by them in white apparel, which said unto them, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have received him into, as you have seen him go into heaven. How did they see him go into heaven? In the clouds. So he's coming in the clouds over here. He's coming in the air at the rapture. Okay? We're going to meet him in the air. He's coming in the clouds over here at the second coming. So Matthew 24, he points out the tribulation. Now go to Matthew 24. Let's look at it. Matthew 24. And he talks about in verse 29. Immediately, I tried to quote it a while ago, but let's read it. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark, and the moon shall not give a light, stars fall from heaven, and the power of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the church, the body of Christ, mourn. No. John Brown, I'm just failing y'all something bad at this point. What does that say? Right. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Go back to 1 Peter and look what Peter says, verse 11. We're searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Go to chapter 5. Chapter 5. Now you can't miss this. Peter is not in the church, the body of Christ, as a pastor that used to preach here in Mobile, Alabama, in a grace church, wrote an article and said the 12 apostles are in the church, the body of Christ. I imagine some of that literature is still in that church now. The man's dead now. Chapter 5, verse 1, 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Now watch it. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. When will that glory be revealed? Matthew 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. And he tells you. Is Peter already glorified?
No.
No. He saw the sufferings of Christ. He witnessed it. He saw him go up. The angel told him, said, you shall see him come in like manner. Peter said, I will be a partaker of his glory. His glory will be revealed at the second coming. Now listen, I hope every one of got a chapter and some verses in your mind right now. You better have. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If I ain't teaching you right, there's something wrong with me. Romans chapter 8. And there's more wrong with me than you really know. But anyway, my endeavor ain't to live forever in this body because it's getting sorry. I sometimes wonder if I'm going to make it through the day. But you see, I don't worry about it because God knows. And I ain't like the psalmist back here. I think it was one of the psalms back here. David said, let me know how my end day so I know how frail I am. I don't know. I don't want no. Don't tell me if I got cancer. Just let it eat me up and take me on out of here. Don't tell me. Just let me go on. I don't want to know. I don't know. I might not can handle it. I may be weak and I can't handle it. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Are you called to be conformed to the image of his Son?
Yes.
How did he call you? By Peter's gospel?
No.
By Paul's gospel. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God, little g, the God of this world, hath blinded their minds, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel and be saved. Satan don't want people to get saved. Every person that trusts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Satan loses. You understand? When you're born with the spirit of Satan in you. You either is or you ain't. You either saved or you ain't. Are you saved when you're born? No, you ain't. And you can't take a little baby somewhere and sprinkle water on him and say he's saved. Can't do that. Ain't got nothing to do with salvation. This child is under the blood of Jesus Christ until he comes to the age of accountability. And I don't know what age that is. And I don't know of nobody that knows what age. I know of an 80-year-old man. I saw him and I heard him at Pine View Bible Camp say that he had just trusted Christ as his personal Savior. When he heard that gospel that day, and he came to the age of accountability right then. He was accountable for the gospel of Christ. If he'd have rejected and died, he'd have went straight to hell. He heard it. He trusted. As you quoted this morning, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, you may be saved, or are you going to get saved, or are you going to come under the knowledge of salvation. You shall be saved. Why? With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. In other words, you confess that Jesus Christ did die for all your sins of gone. All your sins are gone. Your sins ain't your problem. Unbelief is man's problem. There is no such thing as an unpardonable sin.
Amen.
There's no such thing. Don't let somebody tell you that you can't be saved. There was a teacher, and I'm going to have to watch one of my grandsons this year. There was a teacher over at Cottage Hill Baptist Church that taught them 7th grade kids over there, that some of them were predestined to go to hell and some of them predestined to be saved. No, no, no. God would have all men be saved. That's all. Including me, you, and anybody you meet out yonder. Well, how can they be saved? By the power of God, which is the gospel of Christ. The time's up. I appreciate y'all being here this morning. Good to see you. Have a good week.